for our reading this morning, let's turn to the Gospel of John and read chapter number 16. Gospel of John, chapter number 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. And all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. Then they said, therefore, What is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The Lord Jesus was preparing his disciples for transition and events that would come. And in those transition and the events that would come, he was encouraging to them that they would have an expression of joy in their lives, and that joy would be manifest and be able to be shown to those that would be round about them, and even to those who were persecuting them. And so he was bringing forth messages to them, and he's speaking to them, even as he says here in the first verse, these things have I spoken unto you. In the last verse, he says the same words, these things have I spoken unto you. And in other places here in our reading, he speaks of, in these things I'm speaking unto you. So the Lord Jesus was speaking to his disciples, giving them that preparation. There's going to be here a time of transition. The transition is going to be that he will be ascending to his Father, and that he would be sending the Holy Spirit to dwell here upon the earth in the hearts of those who believe in him and who have accepted those things which Jesus Christ has spoken to the disciples and to all who believed on him. And so there was this time of transition, and there was these events that Jesus Christ is saying, these things will happen. These things will happen. But he's telling them, but have joy. But have joy. Have joy in your hearts as these things are happening. So let's step through these scriptures and see how the Lord was speaking to the disciples of this transition, of the events, and of the joy that they should have, and then relate on how that is for our lives, and how there could be transitions and events in our lives, and that through it all, that we would have joy in our hearts. So Jesus is speaking now here to his disciples, and this is towards the very end of his ministry, and he's getting ready to offer himself as a sacrifice for all mankind. And he says to them, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. This is the Lord Jesus Christ telling them, I'm speaking to these things because I don't want you to be offended. Don't stumble in your faith that you have in me. And he tells them exactly what these events are that could cause them to be offended, what could cause them to stumble. He's saying, they shall put you out of synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think it that he doeth God's service. So he's telling them, these are the events that will happen to you. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. So he's qualifying it, and he's telling them they're doing it because they didn't know the Father. And they didn't know who the Father hath sent, Jesus Christ. But these things have I told you. Again, he's speaking to them. He's telling them all things that they have need of to know. And he said, these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, again, he's telling them of things to come, of events to come, of a transition that is to come, that ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things have I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. And now he tells them something else too. He says, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. So the Lord Jesus is telling his followers, his disciples, he's telling them two things. One is they're going to put you out of the synagogue, and some of you are going to be killed, and when they kill you, they're going to be thinking they're doing God's service. That's one thing he told them. But the other thing that he told them is that he goes his way to him that sent him. He was going back to the Father. He tells them these two things. And he's telling them, you're not listening to the second part. You're listening to the first part about how you're going to be put out of the synagogue, and there may be some of you that will be killed. He says, you're not asking me, where are you going? But because I have said these things, sorrow hath filled your heart. When he told them that they're going to be put out of the synagogue, they're going to be killed, sorrow hath filled their heart. But they weren't paying attention that Jesus says, I'm going back to the Father. And then he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Again, more things that he's telling his disciples. It is expedient for you, it's very necessary, very important, and helpful for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So he's telling them there's going to be a time of transition. And this transition was going to be very impactful to them. The transition was going to be that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was going to go back to his Father from whence he came. And that when he goes back to the Father, then the Lord Jesus will send the Holy Spirit here upon this earth to those that would to obey him and believe in him. And so Jesus Christ here is telling them very clearly, I will send him unto you. I will send the Spirit unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me. He would reprove those who were the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the scribes, the captain of the temples, and all of those. He would reprove them of their sin because they would not believe on Jesus Christ. Because they, as Jesus Christ revealed himself to them, they didn't believe. They didn't believe that he was the Messiah. They didn't believe that he was the anointed one. And so they were, by the Holy Spirit, going to be convicted of their sin. Of righteousness, the Holy Spirit would reprove the world of righteousness because he would go back to his Father and they would see him no more, and of righteousness and of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. This is the function of what the Holy Spirit would do as he would come here into the world. And then he says further, though, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. And so he was assuring them, there's going to be this transition. I will go away, but the Holy Spirit will come, and the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. This is the power that the Holy Spirit would have and would guide them in that which is truth, in that which would come from the Father and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And this is what was true, and we see it happen here in the Acts of the Apostles, throughout the Acts of the Apostles, because the Holy Spirit was working in them, and he was speaking of the things that that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, and it says that he would show them things to come, and that... that happened there as we see it in the scriptures. One example comes to mind is that when Saul, there was that shipwreck and they were all thought that they were going to perish, and the Apostle Paul tells them, no, the Lord showed me that I need to go to Jerusalem and witness there, and so we'll all be saved. And so again, the Holy Spirit was showing them things to come. And the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus, as he's saying here, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And then further he says, all things, the Father has given him all things, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. The Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, all working together to bring the truth, to bring the truth to the disciples, to those who would believe, to those who would in with great faith come and surrender their lives and be true to him who has called them. And then he says this again, a time of transition. There's going to be events that are happening that are going to be impactful, and it's going to be very different. So he says, a little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go unto the Father. He's telling them, you're not going to see me. I'm going to be crucified, and I'm going to be put in a tomb for 3 days. And so he says, you won't see me. You won't see me. He's not being very clear here, but he's saying, you won't see me. And then he says, but then again, you will see me. He says, I will be resurrected. He will have the power to be resurrected and brought forth to life. And in that resurrected state, he will manifest himself to his disciples. And so he's telling them, then in a little while, ye shall see me. And at the beginning, they did not understand this. And so Jesus says, are you inquiring among yourselves of that which I said, that you won't see me and then you will see me? And he tells them, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. He's speaking to them that when that time of the crucifixion happens and the mistreatment, to put it lightly, of Jesus Christ would cause sorrow in their hearts, that they would weep, that they would lament during this time, and that the world would rejoice. And they would be happy that finally they got rid of this man who was bringing this different doctrine. And he says, ye shall be sorrowful. Ye shall be sorrowful. And truly they were. But then he tells them, again, of events and transitions that will come. And then he says to them that your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Your sorrow shall be turned into joy because he will see them again. And they will see each other. And their sorrow, therefore, will be turned into joy. And then he gives the example of a woman when she is in travail, she has sorrow, but when, because her hour is come, this event that's happening, this transition that's happening, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. When that new life is there, that there is great joy, and the anguish is forgotten. And Jesus Christ is saying the same thing. You'll be sorrowful when the crucifixion happens, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy when you shall see me in my resurrected state. He's speaking to them and telling them and giving them this truth. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. So he's telling them, now I will see you again. I will see you again. And you will rejoice. And this joy that you have, no man's going to take it away from you. No man's going to take it away from you. And if we step through the Acts of the Apostles, we can see in many places that no man was taking away their joy. They were rejoicing, even if it was persecution, even if it was that they were being cast out of the synagogue, that they were rejoicing, just as Jesus Christ was telling them. No man's going to take away your joy. Your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Jesus is telling them, he's speaking forth this message, this truth to them continuously. He's speaking and he's giving examples of it. Your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And no man's going to take away this joy from you. In Acts chapter 13, we read, the Jews stirred up devout and honorable women and the chief men among the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. We see these things happening quite a bit in the Acts of the Apostles. It says, but they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy in the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ says, the Holy Ghost is coming. When I go, I will send him to you. I will send him into your hearts. and you will be filled with the Holy Ghost. And here it's exactly as Jesus Christ has said, that even in that midst of persecution that they were experiencing, it says that the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. The Apostle Paul was speaking with the elders at Ephesus, and he's telling them he's not going to see them anymore. He's going to Jerusalem, and he doesn't know the things that are going to befall him there. He's not aware, but he does know that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide him. Again, when the disciples were hearing from Jesus for the first time that they'll be cast out of the synagogue and some of them will be killed because they think they will be doing God's service, it caused sorrow in their hearts, so much so that when Jesus said that he would be leaving them, going back to where he came from, that they missed that part, and they were just thinking about how they were going to be cast out of the synagogue and they were going to be killed. But after they understood what the truth of what Jesus Christ had said, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit gave unto them joy. Even in the midst of tribulation and difficulty. So the Apostle Paul is telling the elders here in Ephesus, saying that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. But then he says, but none of these things move me. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I may finish my course with joy. With joy. It didn't matter if he was going into bonds and affliction. He was going to have joy. And Jesus Christ says, you shall have joy. And your joy, no man's going to take away from you. Whether it be men in Jerusalem or men in Iconium or wherever it might be. No man's going to be able to take away your joy. No matter what they do unto you. Even if they cast you out of the synagogue and threaten your life, they will not be able to take away your joy. Jesus Christ here is saying that. I'd like to reread that. Ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sorrow is going to be turned to joy, and no man's going to take that away from you. He says further to them, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy might be full. He's telling them, ask of the Lord. Ask of him who can provide all things, and who can do all things, who is our provider, who can provide that joy, even in the midst of trials and tribulations and very strong difficulty. He's saying, ask, and you shall receive, that your joy might be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh that I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs. Again, he's speaking unto them. These things have I spoken unto you, the Lord Jesus Christ is telling. And these things are recorded for us to know and to understand that there was going to be difficulty. But in the midst of that difficulty, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that they could have joy, joy in their hearts, and that they could rejoice in the Lord in all things. And at that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say unto you that I will pray the Father for you. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you. Here's some humbling thoughts. The Father loveth you because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. God the Father loves us. He loves us because when he gave of his only begotten Son in great love to this world. And he sees there are those who believe and who love the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When God sees that, when God the Father sees that, he loves us. He loves us. And he will give unto us those things which we ask of the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go unto the Father. He's speaking here of this transition that shall happen. He came, he was in heaven, in that glorified state with the Father, and then he came here upon this earth. There was that transition, and he took upon himself flesh and blood. And now his time has come to the close of this time, that he would be here upon this earth in flesh and blood, and that he would offer himself as a sacrifice, that he would resurrect, and that he would ascend back to the Father. This time of transition now was happening again. And the disciples were now understanding it, and they said, "No, lo, now thou speakest plainly. And we believe that thou camest forth from God." Jesus says, Do you now believe? He says, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." He's saying, when that arrest happens there in the Garden of Gethsemane, when I am being on trial there before Pontius Pilate and before the captain of the temple, you're all going to be gone. You're all going to be scattered. But he says, "I will be there alone. There will be no advocate for me." But he says, "I am not alone, because the Father is with me. Because the Father is with me." And he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." He's saying, I'm speaking to you. I'm telling you. Understand. And I'm speaking this because in the world you'll have tribulation, but in me you can have peace. In me you can have joy. In the world you shall have tribulation, he says, but be of good cheer. Have joy. He says, "I have overcome the world." And this is the joy that we have in him. And this is the joy that the Lord Jesus Christ was telling the disciples that they can have. And they did have it. And they did have it. And so when we consider this scripture and how the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to them continuously and telling them of these things, that there will be sorrow, but that sorrow, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will be turned into joy as the Holy Spirit comes down. There will be transitions. There will be events. But you can have joy. Be of good cheer. And no man's going to take that joy away from you. This is what the Lord's message was to the disciples. So how is it that we can overcome a mindset of fear, despair, despondency, of events that may befall us? We see the events through the Acts of the Apostles, the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the events that happened to them. But how do we escape that mindset of despair or despondency or fear when events or transitions happen in our lives? It's important then that we focus on what the Lord said and upon that which is eternal. We see here what the Lord said to the disciples and how he told them of things that were going to come and of that transition of Jesus Christ going back to the Father and him sending the Holy Spirit down here upon this earth. We can focus our mindset, have our mindset focus upon what the Lord Jesus Christ said and upon those things which are eternal. When we think of those things which are eternal, we know that this earth and the heavens as we know them will vanish, will pass away. But the word of Jesus will never pass away. But there will be a new heaven and that there will be a new earth. And death itself will be defeated. And this can give us great joy. Great joy when we in the name of Jesus Christ, and as we proclaim his name, depart from iniquity and live for him in the power of the Holy Spirit, that despite what might befall us, we can have joy in the Holy Spirit. In the previous chapter, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is telling the disciples just before this that herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. This is the objective of the life of a believer, is to glorify the Father. This is our objective. This is our highest calling, is to glorify the Father. And herein is how the Father is glorified, that ye bear much fruit. We know that it is through the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Spirit that we can bear fruit. And we know that the second fruit of the Spirit that is listed is joy. Of all the fruit of the Spirit, the second that's listed, right after love, is joy. And so we are to bear the fruit of joy in our lives because of what the Lord has done and because the Holy Spirit resides within. And he's working in us just as he was working in the apostles. So herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. We are to bear the fruit of joy in our lives. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Our source of joy isn't meat and drink. That if we have it, we're joyful. If we don't have it, we're not joyful. That's not the source of joy. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, it's peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's our source of joy. And this is what the kingdom of God is about. As we glorify the Lord and produce and show forth the fruit of joy in our lives, the Father is glorified. The Father is glorified, and he loves us, as we read here in the morning's reading. Where does joy come from? What's the source of it? We know that's from the Lord. That joy comes from the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms that in thy presence is fullness of joy. In his presence is that fullness of joy. There is no other place of it. But when we come into his presence and then when we are in his presence, we receive that fullness of joy. Again, the Lord wants us to have that his joy that is in us, that then our joy would be full. Ask that and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So in the presence of the Lord is where we have our fullness of joy. And then through the Holy Spirit working in us, we can show forth that fruit of joy in our lives. So how is it that we can be in his presence and receive joy? Is it not that we would come before his and read his word? That's in his presence, to read his word and to spend time meditating thereupon. And then to pray unto the Father. We come into his presence when we are in prayer. And we kneel before him and we beseech his throne. And we glorify him in prayer. We express our thanksgiving and our gratitudes. We do count our blessings and we express thanksgiving for the blessings that he has given unto us. We are coming into his presence and then there is fullness of joy. And we make our supplication before him, and there is fullness of joy. Because in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. The Bible says so. And we exhibit then that fruit of the Spirit in our lives, joy. Rejoicing. Rejoicing upon in his word. Rejoicing upon that which is eternal. Rejoicing in the things that Jesus Christ has said. In Ecclesiastes, we read that God hath given to a man that is good in his sight wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Again, the source of our joy is from the Lord. If God sees that we are believing in him, that we have laid down our lives, that we have taken up the cross and following him, that he sees that our desire, that if we are good then in his sight, he will give unto us wisdom, knowledge, and joy. So again, the source of our joy is from the Lord. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. Again, in the previous chapter, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he says unto them, "These things have I spoken unto you." This is the message of Jesus Christ. He's speaking to them. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." The message of the Lord Jesus Christ is that of the Father. He's bringing his Father's word to us. And as Jesus ascends to the Father and sends the Holy Spirit down, it's the same message. It's the same message that they will speak to us. And that message is, it is truth, that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth and make us to know those things which would come as it happened there in Acts. And he says, that your joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is what the Lord is speaking to us. This is the message that he would have. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants us to embed them, to write them indelibly upon our hearts, upon our minds, that we would remember that his words are to bring us joy in him, because they are eternal. So if we're spending time in the presence of the Lord, in reading of his word, in praying unto him, in singing songs of hymns of faith, then we make that prayer and petition to him that let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Then we invite joy into our hearts, joy into our lives, knowing that power belongs unto the Lord. He can do all things. He who can do all things is our provider. And so we rejoice in him, and he's calling us to that joy, that it might be in him and in him alone. We come into his presence. We think of Jesus Christ and what he was just about ready to do and giving his life to the Lord. We read in Hebrews then, chapter 12, verse 2, how it says that Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. He had joy. He had joy, knowing that which would transpire far beyond the grave. And that's where our joy is too, that as we come into the presence of the Lord and we read his word and know that it is eternal, know that the earth and the heavens as they are will pass away, and that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, for he hath said this, that gives us great joy. That despite it, the fact that as it was for the apostles, that they would be excused from the synagogue and that their lives would be threatened, that they have joy. That they have joy in their lives. And so the Bible is telling us that we should rejoice evermore. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the things that God has done for us. Despite what the transition in our lives might be, despite the events in our lives that they might be, that we would have joy in the Lord, that we would come before in his presence with joy. That in Nehemiah, it also speaks that in the joy of the Lord, that there is strength. In the joy of the Lord, there is strength. It was this joy in the Lord that the apostles had that gave them strength to endure the persecutions and the sufferings that they were experiencing. And it is the joy of the Lord that will give us strength in our lives likewise through the transitions and through the events that go on in our lives. It is the joy of the Lord. It is the joy of the Lord. So whatever happens, let's give God the thanks and give him the praise and rest in him and trust in him. I'd like to just share one other scripture here briefly, and I've shared this scripture before. It's found in Habakkuk chapter 3 at the very end, and it speaks of disappointments in life, things that happen that are just not going well at all. It says here, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines. Just think of different events that may be happening in your life that are just disappointment after disappointment. The labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields yield no meat. You plant, you water, and there's no crop. There's no crop. And the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. A barn that's empty. A barn that's empty. There's no cattle in there. There's no herd in there. He says, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Despite the hardship, despite the disappointments in life. He says, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. In the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. In the joy of the Lord will be your strength. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet and will make me to walk upon my high places. This is the things that the Lord will do for us. There were transitions. There were events that happened in the apostles' lives. And they were difficult. And I may say that they were more difficult than the disappointments and the struggles that we have in our lives. But yet, through the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus Christ has sent here upon this earth and lives and reigns in the heart of those who believe and obey him, through that power of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of joy can come forth. The fruit of joy can come forth. And we are a great witness. We are a great witness to those round about us when we have joy in our lives, when we exhibit that fruit of the Spirit of joy in our lives. If we're always somber or in despair or expressing our disappointments, we don't draw others to Christ. But in the joy of the Lord, even in despite of difficulty and disappointment, that we can have joy in our lives, that is a great witness, and that is what the Lord would call us to. So may we live in the power of the Holy Spirit. May that fruit of joy be evident in our lives, that when we come to the end of our lives, that we may hear those blessed and immortal words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Amen.
As the hymn writer wrote, "His life to me life giveth, in spite of grave and death." The disciples, as we learned, had their thoughts stirred and troubled by the suffering that they would face. And yet Jesus, even in the midst of his suffering, offered to them a precious promise that they would be with him again. Because he was returning to his Father, and what he had done upon the cross would make a way for them to be with him for eternity. And yes, when they saw him again after the resurrection, the joy and the love and the Spirit of God changed their lives, made them witnesses of the kingdom of God that we heard about this morning. And yet there's a joy that is also awaiting all those who are in Christ. We read in the scripture, "If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." May we be seeking to be spiritually minded, where we will find life and peace. May we be seeking Jesus Christ. The Word also teaches us that in the presence of the Lord there is fullness of joy, and at His right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Who do we find at the right hand of God, who has ascended far above all power and principality? But the one who, in His suffering, offered comfort, prepared His disciples for the road ahead, and is waiting and interceding on our behalf that we would be faithful to Him to the end. May His name be blessed, and may all thanks and glory be unto Him. In Jesus' name, amen.